O'clock, and I mentioned there's going to be a slightly extended version of the morning show this morning because, well, we have an opportunity to introduce you to Ashley Dowd, who is in town. Well, he's in Durban, but he's popped across to Ballito to talk about his one-man show, The Return of Elvis Dupisane, that's shooting out the lights around the country. It's a one-man show. Written and directed, I believe, by Paul Slabolepsy. This is quite something. I thought he'd retired years ago. Firstly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dan.
How good to have you in Ballito. Is it your first visit?
No. I mean, I grew up in KZN, so, you know, Ballito was not the same as it is now, but I know KZN pretty well, and coming back into the sweet air of KZN from Joburg is quite a memory kick. So yeah, it's great to be back.
Well, it's lovely to have you on the airwaves of 88, the voice of Ballito.
Thanks for inviting me.
I know you have
here.
A lot of fans in Ballito. I see some folk have already been reposting your advert. Andrew Gilda being one of them. Do you know him?
Oh yes,
Andrew
was advancing with me. Was it Andrew?
Well, there it is. So so you have popped in because this weekend is an opportunity for a little bit of fun and entertainment of the cultural kind that we are starved of in this part of the country.
Really?
Yeah, there's not much theatre. There's a bit of music here at the Lifestyle Centre. There's a lot of live music that happens on the weekends primarily. But live theatre, not so much. And we're sports dilly here, so a lot of folks say, well, you know, you want theatre, culture, etc., go to Cape Town.
We'll excuse the sport. No. I mean, look, it's nice to have a mix, you know. We should all exist, not to the exclusion of others. So I think there's a place for theatre everywhere. And, in fact, this weekend is quite busy.
I see your opening night is sold out.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we've got a nice block booking. We've got a nice bunch of people coming to opening night. Still have tickets for Saturday and Sunday. The matinee is a little bit more popular. And it's like that all over the country, actually. You get a lot of people griping that they don't want to travel at night. And they want to come through to the matinee. So I'm finding quite a few theatres changing times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to accommodate that kind of matinee show.
It's interesting. Lots of entertainment has changed. I've noticed even with radio, the listening patterns have changed. People no longer really worry about catching the thing live if you can listen again on demand. And this is why all of our conversations go up as podcasts as well. And in fact, vodcasts in this case. So if you are going to have to leave us, don't worry. You'll be able to pick us up on the website or on our apps at a later stage this afternoon.
But you know, it's kind of sad that, I mean, I like it. I listen to podcasts. I really enjoy podcasts. But just the live experience of watching, even watching TV as a community, in a sense. I mean, you're probably of an age, and I'm making assumptions here, where you remember the bumper sticker on a car that said, "Who shot JR?" Do you remember that? And everyone would know what you're talking about. But it's not the case anymore. There's just this infinite amount of content that you can choose from. And it's kind of put us into our little silos, which is very strange. You know, and I think that the show, and I'm talking about my show, The Return of Elvis Dupisane, the show sort of celebrates. It's a kind of a love song to a lot of that community. Community listening to radio, community watching the movies, and particularly the kids. I mean, growing up, and I still remember this, growing up where you go to a Saturday matinee and you can get a lucky dip. So you'd go to the cinema, and it was specifically marketed for kids and families, and you'd pick up your lucky dip at the reception desk with your ticket, and you'd go and watch the movie with all the other kids. You know, it was live, and it was dangerous, and it was, you know, it was amazing to be together. And I think that's the sad thing for cinema at the moment, that cinema's lost a lot of that.
Yeah. But, you know, you hark back to the joy of connecting live. And there is a magic that happens in a live performance that you don't find anywhere else. And that is that I think it's fair to say that when the spark ignites and there is a connection between the audience and the performer, that is something that is unique to each performance. It's very special. It can't be quantified. And to be there to witness it on the night is It's irreplaceable. And this is what theatre offers, that no other art form, well, possibly music to a degree, but certainly the two-way communication. I mean, you, on the stage, there is this, I think, false belief among many members of the audience that you cannot be seen by the performers, but you can, and you are. And if you're getting this feedback, it can take the performance to another level.
Yes, yes. And especially cell phones being used in the auditorium can be seen by the performer. I'm telling you now they can. And it's a little bit dismal to start seeing that. But it doesn't happen often. But I think people have got into the habit.
Don't you find people, because I think of television and because of just the way things have gone, I'm talking from a live music perspective where people are playing their hearts out. And there is an audience, but they're not listening really. And literally talking right over the performance. Do you find in theatre occasionally you get idiots like that as well, that just think that it's like a TV show, that it doesn't really matter, it'll turn the volume up or down, and we'll have a conversation?
Well, I mean, the last time it happened was actually the oldies had come to the matinee, and three phones went off.
But it was like, oh, Lillian, it's the button on the left. You just turn the phone off. No, Lillian, it's the other button. Now turn it off. Everybody can hear. Shh.
And then all of them are going, shh, stop it. So that's the kind of thing that can happen. But, you know, just to get back to, Dave, what you were talking about with that complicit agreement between the audience and the performer, you're co-creators in a sense, because... If the story is good, and I mean it rests on a really well written script, which is a gift for the actor, you're taken into this moment that starts to live, and if it ignites with the imagination of the audience, and you have their attention at that point, it's a story that is being co-created. It's not just you pushing from the stage, and you must feel that too with music. It's a reception, but you're getting this energy back from the audience. So it's like a circuit, you know. And if the audience is not, if it doesn't work, and you find that with very small audiences sort of scattered around the auditorium and they're scared to respond, the energy is not prickly. It's not there. You don't feel it.
And then how do you raise your flagging spirit in that sense and carry on?
In that case, you just have to believe in the story, and you have to be... there's nothing that you should push. That's my belief anyway. If you start pushing, you start breaking. And I think it's just about trusting what you have. But most nights, there's a joy. And there's the joy in the memory of these things. And the audience go on this ride. It's like a roller coaster. And you're both riding this wave together, which is fantastic. And that's the shared experience. You don't get that on the screen.
The return of Elvis Dupisani, is it very sad? I've heard people say, I don't want to, life is so hard at the moment, I don't want to see anything sad.
Well, you know, I mean, the counter argument is that the world has become, the world has become a lot darker. And this character, Eddie carries some darkness with him. He comes with a lot of baggage. But the redeeming factor happens at the end where he confronts this. And I think the message, if there is any message in the play, is that you're responsible for dealing with your demons, you know. And if you can jump into that darkness and understand what it's about and try and look for the light, that will be your saving grace, in a sense.
So there is a moment of catharsis.
Yeah, it's a big, big moment of catharsis. I mean, look, so just to lay it out on the table here, Dupisani comes into this dark space. He's the kind of everyman. He represents all of us, really. But he has a very specific story. And this big event happened to him when he was 16. And he has come to the end of his tether. There's a moment where he switches on the radio at his rock bottom, you know, worst self back home a few hours ago. Switches on the radio, and Elvis Presley's on the radio. It's that, is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back? And, oh my God, it's a moment that syncs with himself back when he was 16. And it's like an electric shock. And he stops what he's doing, and he gets in his car. and he drives 200 Ks back to his hometown where his family used to live. And he's basically looking for Elvis at that point. In a very strange way, he's looking for this magic to happen to him. And in a sense, he finds it at the end. It's the story of growing up with a father who had PTSD. So in a way, the story is a kind of, it's a period piece because, you know, when Paul wrote it, he was essentially writing it about his father and having gone to war, coming out of the Second World War and coming with all sorts of mental issues as well. And it's really, if you track that as an audience, that's why I think the script is so clever, is because there's little tidbits of information that flicker. And if you're following, it's almost like following a murder mystery, you know, you're following all these moments and you're joining the dots. And finally it's, that's why. This is the dude that caused it.
The show has received huge notices. I'm talking about praise from various quarters, and which obviously augurs extremely well for this weekend in Durbs. You've already been on tour. You've been to Johannesburg of late, and prior to that, Cape Town or the Cape. Is this now the end of the run?
Pretty much. I mean, there are quite a few other projects lined up. So I'm. But having said that, it's always, you know, a one-man show is always in the back pocket. So you can always pull it out and perform. And it should be. There are quite a few artists that are doing that. I'm finding that a lot more artists are doing solo shows because it's, in some ways, it's a little bit easier because you're traveling on your own. And some of them have got six, seven. I mean, Aaron and Lisa McElroy, you know, are traveling with six, maybe more shows at one go. But yeah, I mean, I would like to move on to a couple of other things. You know, it can't be underestimated how exhausting it is too. It's a very tiring experience. It's like just short of a rugby game every time you're on stage. And you've got to give everything. You can't hang back. So it's very physical, and I've got to keep, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm keeping very physical and active and fit. And being stage fit is a different thing altogether. But it's also, you know, you go to a theatre and you've got to, it takes a day, 2 days to set up all the tech.
And who does that on a one-man show? Do you do it mostly yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I know the show pretty well now, so I can oversee the lighting, the technical aspects of it. And coming to a theatre like the Seabrooks, attached to Durban High School, is fantastic because they've been, they're kitted out with some of the best.
Yeah, they've revamped their lighting rig, for example, and the sound is good. So it really is a theatre experience. It's not like going to see something in a hall.
No. I mean, theoretically, I should be able to do it in a hall and in this kind of theatre, but it's a joy to have this access. And with Ross Hatcher being the theatre manager there too, and people like Michael Broderick, who's one of the finest lighting experts in the country, actually, living in Durban. Yeah, DWR he's in the employ of DWR, who is the lighting kind of go-to company. And he came and helped out yesterday, so he's set everything up, and we're going to go through today and just do a tech run-through.
And it opens on Friday.
It opens on Friday, yeah.
So anyone wanting to acquire tickets for this lot, I mentioned earlier that it probably would be available on web tickets. Mm. Was I correct?
Correct.
Only web tickets?
Yeah. I mean, you can pay at the door as well.
So you can arrive and hope for the best. Yeah. Not a good idea because I think the show is going to be sold out. Yeah. I just have an idea because it's not a huge theatre. And the notices, as I say, have been so good that anyone that knows anything about theatre and you will be there like a shot for sure. I mean, we've got our tickets already. So
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it greatly. How long is the show?
It runs 75 minutes.
With an intermission in the middle?
No.
Wow, so you're on stage for 75 minutes straight.
Yeah.
How did you remember all the words?
Yeah, you know, that's the most common question. And I often say to people, you know, anyone can do it, really. It's that kind of memory feat is a thing that humans do. I mean, when it's combined with the geography of a piece, and this is how the great Greek bards used to remember. They used to talk about memory palaces. you know, those Greeks used to remember this, something the size of a Bible. And they used to go on these long walks. And it was finding bits of landscape that triggered certain memories. And they would remember that next section and the next section as they progressed. Well, it's pretty much the same as being on stage, actually, because you're moving from an intro where you've got very specific things to do at that moment, which triggers the memory of that particular story or that particular memory. I mean, the early days of it, like in the first week or two, it does get quite scary, I've got to tell you. I mean, there are moments when suddenly it's gone and you go...
And then you ad-lib frantically until it comes back.
Well, I mean, sometimes you ad-lib, sometimes you just stand in terrified silence. You know, but,
have you ever lost it completely and just stood there?
Yeah, well, not with this one. Okay. This one has been... We rehearsed hard. I mean, Paul, as you were referring to at the beginning, Paul... directed me, and we had a very strict regime. I would get up in the morning, make the swamis, and I was living quite near Paul, and walk down the road, and we walked to the rehearsal venue.
Is Paul Levy in the Cape now?
No, he's in Joburg. So okay. I flew up to Joburg. Okay. He's in Linden in Joburg, and still prolific. I've got to tell you, there's a couple of new shows that have come out.
Wow.
Yeah, one's at the Playhouse at the moment, called Bitter Winter, and. And he's written another two-hander, one before himself, called Midnight in Paris.
It's interesting. So you know, when one hears and feels the tragedy of the performing artists that have no work because, well, there's not much happening in the theatre, you follow Ian von Memmerty's tragedy and you think, well, I mean, this is very, very dark. But then, looking at performers like yourself... And you mentioned McElroy, and no doubt Tim Plumen comes to mind. There are many that are taking the initiative to create work and to carry on. And then there is, apart from the failing of the body and the mind, you can take it on tour for the rest of your life. Literally, you can work for the rest of your life if you want to. Do you find that theatre gives you the kind of joy, energy, if you like, the boost that keeps you alive?
Yeah, you see, I mean, it's irreplaceable. And that's why it continues. It's because of that live experience. It's because of what you get as a performer as well. That experience of going through the trajectory of a story from beginning to end is something that you just can't live on film or on television, for example. It's like being an athlete, really, you know, or... going through a kind of meditation, because it does something for your head, it does something for your soul to live through that, and your ability to tell the story, to understand.
Isn't it peculiar? And the number of actors that have actually died on stage, sure. or just after a performance.
Don't say that. I'm going on stage this weekend.
No, but the point is the Dr. Footlights thing, where yes, you can be Dr. really Footla- terminal, yeah, but yeah, you go yeah, on stage and yeah. suddenly you get this enormous rush.
Yeah, that is quite real. That is quite real, eh? Yeah. I mean, the fact is, you have to do it. There's going to be an audience, you know? So you can't say, oh, no, I've got a sore throat, or I'm a little bit, I'm not feeling so great.
And do you also go through the agony of the beginning of the evening before the show starts, feeling the anxiety, the butterflies, the almost, I think it was one of the big names that said he used to be physically ill sometimes before the show, before the curtain went up. But that was good because it gave you the rush, the adrenaline that you need.
You know, Dave, the funny thing is you never know what's going to happen in the performance. Every performance is slightly different. And what I've become quite curious about is the way I'm feeling just before the show. And sometimes I can be feeling really amazing. Yeah, this is going to be a show, man. This is going to be a fantastic show. And you get on, and maybe that's the night that you've lost a couple of lines in the show, you know, and you've got your place, and you think, "What? Why did that happen? Why? I was feeling fantastic." And then other days, you sort of stagger in, you get changed, you go, "Oh, jeepers, I don't know. I'm not..." And it's the most amazing, because, as I said before, you know, it's also about the audience. It's not just about you. So...
Well, I'm looking forward to the experience greatly, and I'm sure many listening to this are now if they haven't already booked, are now scrambling for the phone. Web tickets, or the phone, the device. You can go online and book your tickets through Web Ticket. There are tickets available. I think the opening night, I think it's sold out, but there may be one or two seats still available. But certainly Saturday and Sunday, those are matinees.
Saturday is still 7 o'clock.
Oh, is it?
Matinee on Sunday, 2:30.
So yeah. Saturday, 7 o'clock, 2:30 on a Sunday. And then that's it, folks, for now. So grab your tickets while you can.
Yeah, I mean, DHS has got great parking. It, you know, it's just convenient. It's great to be
there. And it's a hop and a skip from Ballito. I know there's, as I say, a lot of folk living in Ballito that enjoy the performing arts but don't get an opportunity to explore much. So I think there'll be quite a contingent travelling south. It's a long way to Tipperary, a very long way.
I sing that in the show. I sing that. You come and hear me sing. A long way to Tipperary.
I can't wait. My very special guest, Ashley Dowds, former television presenter. You miss television?
Some of it.
Yeah.
Not all of it.
But far prefer the theatre, the real thing.
Like the curate's egg. What is it? Good in parts. Yeah.
Thanks for joining me on 88 FM. And we will see you at the theatre.
Thank you. Look forward to that.
And the music continues.